Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled The Great Evangelical Apostasy 2019, a current events and Bible prophecy study. This is part two of two. Well, here's the thing. Just as Christmas decorations tell us that Thanksgiving is near, I'll tell you this in a second. So signs of the tribulation, or Daniel's 70th week, tell us that the rapture is near. I've mentioned that a few times through the years, and some of you probably heard me say it, and some other preachers may have said it too. But last year, somebody I don't even know sent me a note out of the blue and just saying, I just got the biggest kick. She goes, I was walking in the store, and I see Christmas decorations, and you know what the first thing I thought was? I need to get a turkey. And she said, I just remembered how you said when you see Christmas decorations, you know Thanksgiving getting near, and I saw Christmas decorations, I thought, I got to get a turkey because I've got Thanksgiving coming up. See how that works? See, you'll hear preachers even get a little too, they'll go overboard with this. They'll say, there's no signs for the rapture. Well, that's true technically. But every sign you see that says the Antichrist is about to take over and the tribulation's about to hit the fan, that the one world order and the one world money system, the mark of the beast and the one world religion, the Sodomite revival, Jesus said it'd be as it was in the days of Lot. You see any of that stuff going on and you're like, the rapture's got to be close. And what is a sign? If we think that a sign of the 70th week of Daniel tells us the rapture's near. Look at 2 Thessalonians, just a few pages to your left. Chapter 2, verse 3. This is one of the, I believe this is the major sign. People said Israel is the signpost. And that was true in the general sense that we know we're in the last days. Israel being regathered in the land. But as far as the kicking in of the Antichrist world religion and all that, look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Read that with me. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So that day, I believe, is a reference to the day of the Lord. And I believe it's in reference to all the seals and the trumpets and the vials and goes all the way through the millennium. That's what I believe the day of the Lord is. Now, that day will not come except first there's a great falling away. Well, listen, this is the great falling away. The moment after the rapture takes place, there will be absolutely no saints on the entire planet. Right now, it's getting scarce, but there's still millions and millions. Planet of 7.5 billion, could be as many as a billion saints. A lot of people put the number around 500 million. Some people put it as little as 200 million, but that's still a lot of people, 200 million. The moment after the rapture, zero. Not a saint on the planet. Think of that. That's the great falling away. You can't get any more falling away than that. There's no faith on the earth at that moment. And then what happens next? The man of sin's revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. So this great falling away is preceded by a growing apostasy as we see today. You see, when the rapture takes place, they're not going to be convinced that it was a bunch of Bible-believing born-again Christians going up in the rapture. They're going to have a strong delusion. And one of the things going to help that is that a lot of the churches, and this includes evangelical and fundamental churches, are still going to have their pastor and a good portion of their membership sitting in the pew. And how's that happening today? Because they're preaching a false gospel. A lot of times they don't even preach the gospel. They do not call on you to repent and believe the gospel. They just say, would you like to go to heaven? Yes, well then say this prayer. And they do. Doesn't have anything to do with biblical salvation. Never did Jesus the apostles just walk up to somebody and say, hey, would you like some fire insurance? And that's how it's being preached today. No, when you preach the gospel, when you go to an unsaved person, first you present the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins and He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Then you confront them with the fact they're a sinner and they need to be saved. And you call on them to repent and believe the gospel. That's not being done. Folks, it hasn't been done in some churches for years. So they've packed their pews full of unsaved, eternally secure Baptists. You can't talk them out of their salvation. They're eternally secure. But they've never been born again. And that's why you see fundamental churches and evangelical churches going into Sodom. People are like, how is this happening? It's because there's a bunch of unsaved people making the decisions. When the pastor gets old and retires or leaves, who do they bring in? They bring in some hireling. They don't bring in a Bible-believing, fire-breathing, Baptist preacher. They bring in some hireling who will run the church like it's a franchise. And all he wants is to bring in more people and have more money so they can build more buildings. And, amen. This is just, I can show you a story like this every week. At least one. This is a story out of the UK, a BBC poll. Fewer than half of UK Christians believe Jesus died, rose again for their forgiveness of sins. Let that sink in. So here's what it's saying. According to this poll, more than half of the professing Christians in the UK are going to hell.
Amen.
You cannot be saved. You cannot be a Christian if you don't believe the gospel.
Amen.
Then there's papal ecumenism. The ecumenical movement under the Pope. This is the great apostasy, the great falling away taking place before your eyes. You can just turn on the TV, look it up on the internet, see the news, and you'll see it. And it will bring all religions together to eventually unify under the Antichrist, who is whoever that final Pope is, will be the Antichrist. Now, the thing. One of the main things you see right now is what's called Chrislam. You ever heard of that? Chrislam. And that's where they're taking Catholic Christianity and Islam and bringing them together. Not too long ago, the leader of the largest Muslim community on planet Earth signed an agreement with the Pope, virtually bringing those two together. So in some ways, Chrislam is already a reality. And this is what that's setting the stage for in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Pope is setting that up right now. He's laying the groundwork. Now, he went to India preaching this stuff, and now he's inspired. You got Chrislam, Catholic Christianity, Islam, now you got the Buddhists and the Hindus. He's inspired India's religions to plot peace, and what they mean is coming together with the Pope. Muslims and Christians in India are working to popularize a document on human fraternity released during Pope Francis' historic visit to the United Arab Emirates in February, just a couple months ago. The document on human fraternity for world peace and living together, that's what the document's called, focuses on religious tolerance, cross-faith dialogue, and world peace. They won't tolerate me if I go over there and meet with those people and preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and you must be born again, repenting toward God and believing how that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone as payment for your sin, they will not tolerate me. They will only tolerate those who won't preach that. You can preach anything else you want. Delhi Minority Commission Chair, a guy named Khan is his last name, he says, quote, "It talks about brotherhood, love, peace, women's and children's rights, and the futility of war and terrorism, It contains words of wisdom from the highest level. And he says, however, very few people know about it, so we want to give it more publicity. So now there's a big push on.
Con,
yeah, that's right. Now think of this. The Pope, when he goes around to these other religions, he does not spend his time preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spends his time orchestrating the eventual one world antichrist religion. That's what your Francis, Pope Francis, does almost all his efforts, all of his time is spent laying the groundwork for the antichrist world religion. Ain't that something? Now, this is encroaching into churches that used to take a strong stand against this stuff. And one of the major ways is the charismatic movement. Going back to the 60s, the charismatics got hooked in with the Catholics. And you could actually go to Catholic churches where they'd have, not during Mass, but in special services, and they'd all get together and speak in tongues and everything. You'd have nuns and priests and other people all speaking in tongues and singing their 7-Eleven music, you know, and having a good old time. And so that's crept into a lot of other churches, who Southern Baptist churches and other non-Pentecostal churches. And once trustworthy ministries are going charismatic, ecumenical, and making merchandise. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll begin reading verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And there are, amen. Who privily, meaning that secretly, they'll bring it in with stealth. They won't come through the front door. They'll come in underneath the radar. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now read verses 2 and 3. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That's going on among Christian churches and ministries today, and it is rampant. I mean, it's just all over the place. I hate to say this, but Southwest Radio Church, Brother Noah went to be with the Lord, and that ministry is going into the pit. I can no longer recommend it as sound Bible teaching ministry. And I'll just give you one clear example, and that's the most recent offering by Southwest Radio. They interviewed this guy and offered his book called The Veil, An Invitation to the Unseen Realm. Blake K. Healy. And this is from the back cover of that book. Quote, for as long as he can remember, Blake K. Healy has seen angels and demons. He sees them as clearly as he would see you if you were standing right in front of him. He sees angels dancing in worship services and whispering words of encouragement in people's ears. He also sees demons latching on to people and perpetuating addiction and bitterness in their hearts. Ooh. That make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, get a little goose pimple here? No. The Veil is the name of the book, chronicles how Blake matured in this gifting. And here's my main problem with it. While overcoming the fear and confusion of what he saw, how he learned to use his gift of seeing, that's what he calls it, for God's glory, and how to teach others to do the same. Southwest Radio Church is offering a book put out by a cult. It's called the Bethel Cult. The main headquarters is out in California. This guy is in Atlanta. This cult is dangerous. The discernment ministries have been warning about the Bethel Cult for years. the new apostolic reformation and all this garbage. And now that book is supposed to teach you how to start seeing angels and demons everywhere. Listen, folks, I love y'all. I love you folks who come on Sunday and aren't here or whatever. I love y'all. But the last thing I need is for you to come in here thinking you're seeing demons and angels everywhere. We have enough issues. Amen? Amen. And that is just absolutely sickening to me. And it's under Larry Spargimino's leadership that SWRC is watering down their stand on LGBT while embracing charismatic heresy. Jenny and I gave up on him. Noah was in his last year or two. He was in bad health. I had a conversation with him on the phone, and he told me that he was basically not making any decisions any longer. It was out of his hands. He had wanted me to be on the radio program and was going to offer the new versions or Vatican versions DVD. And Jenny will remember when all that went on. And somebody there cut me off. Somebody there didn't want me on. And Noah, when we went down to see him in Bristol, told me to give him a call, and I did, and we talked for a little while. And I could, what he said and what he didn't say, I could tell Noah was not happy with the direction of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. And that's why if you go back and listen to the studies from about 2012 on, I didn't promote Southwest Radio Church anymore. At Bristol, we had to sit there and listen to Larry Spargimino lecture us, basically blaming us for the fact that there aren't a lot of queers getting saved. Now, John 3:19 says that this is the condemnation. It doesn't say because Christians didn't do enough to reach them. It says this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I sat there and listened to a Promise Keepers black preacher try to blame all of us white people who showed up for the Promise Keepers because there wasn't very many black people there. And I got up and walked out because we went door to door in black neighborhoods. They sent materials. They advertised on black radio. They went into black churches and tried to get the men to show up. None of them showed up. So if you want to get up there and preach the truth, you blame the black men in this country for being apostate. Blame the black men of America for what they're doing to the black young men in America. I'm sick of this bootlicking blacks in America. Black culture is suffering because of black people. And the same thing's true when it comes to the queers. They're going to hell because they love being queer. They don't want to repent of their wicked sin. Don't come blaming me. And I had to sit there and listen to Spargimino lecture us on that. And Jenny will tell you, if some of you think I can't behave, I sat right there and just bit my tongue. And he told us, you know, one of the things we need to stop doing is saying that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I ain't going to stop saying that. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. But you know what was crazy about that?
Adam and Eve too, yeah.
Yeah, Madam and Eve. You know what's so crazy about that? Noah Hutchings uttered those words many, many times.
That's right.
And Noah was sitting right there when Larry was lecturing us about it. But that's when Noah told me later on the phone, it was pretty much out of his hands. Now, real quick, I got to tell you what's going on. The Voice of the Martyrs, I think I spelled it wrong. There's an E in there that shouldn't belong. But I can no longer recommend them as a trusted mission organization. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. But they've become ecumenical. They have compromised the gospel message they preach. They have unethical leadership. Tom White, who replaced Richard Wurmbrand, was a child molester. And when they were going to, he was a head of Voice of the Martyrs for like 20 years. When they were going to arrest him, he committed suicide. Well, Richard Wurmbrand's son, Michael, called on Voice of the Martyrs to have an investigation so that if Tom molested more than just one girl, they could find out. Voice of the Martyrs killed it. They didn't want an investigation. And then they replaced Tom White with a politician. The mayor of, I think it's called Bartlettsville, Oklahoma. Guy with no Christian ministry experience or anything. This is from Michael, a report. He says, since pedophiles rarely, or I'm sorry, the leadership of Voice of the Martyrs USA lacks legitimacy. Richard Wurfbrand retired in 1992 and died in 2001. His successor, Tom White, was a pedophile who committed suicide in 2012 at the Voice of the Martyrs compound when the police were about to arrest him for having sexually abused a 10-year-old girl. Since pedophiles rarely abuse only one child, Michael Wurfbrand, the only child of Richard and Sabina, I thought was her name, Sabine Wurfbrand, who had been serving Voice of the Martyrs from California, he called for an independent investigation to assure that Tom White hadn't abused other children. During his frequent trips to Voice of the Martyrs facilities, including orphanages abroad, in response, Voice of the Martyrs fired Richard Wurfbrand's son, Michael. Now he's in his 70s, who had co-founded Voice of the Martyrs with his parents, and they offered him money to shut him up. Michael Wurfbrand rejected the money and instead published an open letter that repeats his call for an independent investigation and asked donors to stop supporting Voice of the Martyrs, and we certainly have. The current president of Voice of the Martyrs USA is the former mayor of Bartlettsville, okay? Small town in which Voice of the Martyrs is located, their USA headquarters. Was hired by Voice of the Martyrs despite not having any ministry experience, etc. And then on top of all that is this horrible, wasteful spending. They had a headquarters that was a building of about $500,000. They took the money sent to them to help persecuted Christians and build a $28 million headquarters. $28 million. Imagine, as the caption says, what the thousands of individuals, thousands of underground churches, etc., that could have been helped by that money, as was intended by the donors. Another one, Gospel for Asia. And also no longer be recommended as a trusted mission organization. And folks, don't let this depress you. Jesus said this would happen. All we're doing right now is detailing how that Jesus was right. As sad as it is, Gospel for Asia also has become very ecumenical. They also are preaching a compromised gospel. They also have cultic leadership. In India, K.P. Yohanan, you remember him? How many of you remember him? He's the guy who founded Gospel for Asia. His highest degree earned is a bachelor's degree, but he's now given himself the title, and this is funny because I joke about this all the time. He wants you to call him this, His Eminence Most Reverend Dr. K.P. Yohanan, the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believer's Church. And I've joked about calling me the most right-wing reverend or right-wing bishop. Yeah, the most right-wing bishop of Worthington. Oh, you know. I did have somebody one time rebuke me because they thought I was serious. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's a joke, okay? This guy, he's serious. You want to see what he looks like? He looks like the Pope's what he looks like. And that guy there, I think one of those guys, I can't remember which one they said, is being ordained. They have to swear allegiance to him to be ordained. And he sits there like the Pope. His Eminence, Most Reverend Dr. K.P. Yohanan, the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believer's Church. And of course, you knew this was coming, but it was wasteful spending. Much of the money that was that Gospel for Asia transferred to South Asia was not used for their stated purposes. Some of it was used to buy for-profit enterprises. Instead of giving money to Christians and churches and building churches and all that, they bought a $70 million engineering college. They bought a $19 million rubber plantation and a professional soccer team. Because nothing says serving the Lord like a soccer team. Some of it was used to finance the growth of K.P. Yohanan's Believer's Church, while some of it remains unaccounted for. But when pressed during a belated 2015 Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability inquiry, Gospel for Asia conceded that in June of 2015, the bank accounts of its offices in Asia held a collective balance of $186 million. They weren't spending it on anybody but themselves. They built a $45 million headquarters. I mean, all they need is a little bit bigger tower and some, characters running around with fireworks, and it looked like Disney. Bible League, about one-third of what you give to the Bible League goes toward fundraising. And that's in the millions of dollars. They use corrupt text to make their Bibles that they supposedly give away. And they even have gender-neutral translations now. In foreign languages, not just infecting Americans, but infecting foreigners around the world. Wycliffe translators, how many of you heard of them? Wycliffe translators, they use the corrupt text as well. They also put out pro-Islamic translations for places that are Muslim. Listen to this, this is crazy. To make the Bible friendly to Muslims who deny the Trinity, Wycliffe Bible translators, SIL Translation Project, and by the way, David W. Daniels of Chick Tracks worked for them and can confirm this stuff. But they have removed references to God the Father as Father and to Jesus as the Son or Son of God. God the Father is being translated as Allah. Sometimes they'll call Him Guardian or Great Protector. The Son of God is now translated as Representative of God, Beloved One from God, or Messiah of God, which aligns with the Quran's Isa al-Masih, which is what they call Jesus the Messiah. Here's an example. Matthew 28:19, we know, says, "Go ye therefore and
teach and preach and baptize
them." Yeah. They translate it, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, cleansing them by water in the name of Allah." You give money to Wycliffe translators, that's the Bibles they're printing for Muslims. And they are in cooperation with and assistance to the Vatican. And they also have a wasteful budget. This is the salary of the top six people at Wycliffe Translators. The senior consultant to the president makes $258,000 plus a year. The senior resource and development, $158,000. The VP of marketing, $129,000. The treasurer, $116,000. The president makes $135,000, and the chief HR officer, $119,000. That was 5 years ago, so who knows what it's like now. Just do the math. That's basically $1 million just to pay those people. One more thing. Time prohibits discussion of the no repentance of sin that's producing the apostasy. The purpose-driven apostasy from Rick Warren out in California. Hillsong apostasy. They're now accommodating Sodom, and it won't be long before they'll have them preaching and everything at Hillsong.